Well, good morning. It's a wonderful Lord's Day. It's great to be here and see each and every one of you here this morning. Even those who knew I was going to be preaching, I'm glad you still decided to come and come back and worship with us this morning. For our visitors, I'm not the normal preacher. Jeff Archer, honestly, I'm not even sure where he's at right now. I wish he was here. He's gone away for a while, but I'm sure, Lord willing, he'll be back next week, and you can come for a good sermon then, or return for a good sermon tonight. I'm sure there'll be a good one to this evening. The alarm clock goes off. You snooze it once, maybe twice. Then you finally get up. You shower, and you get dressed for the day. You go wake up the kids and you start fixing breakfast. You rush the kids a little, trying to tell them, hurry up, hurry up. You got to come down and eat breakfast. We got to get going. You finish packing up the kids and you finish breakfast and everybody's rushing out the door to the car. You drive the kids to school and you drop them off, maybe one, maybe two car lines, different schools, who knows. You drive to work, you make your way to work, rush hour traffic and constantly just bumper to bumper. You finally make it to work. You make it up to your desk and you get ready to start the day. You log in. You open up your email. Maybe read a few news articles and you get working, get back to work. You go over to the break room. You get a cup of coffee. You spend a few minutes talking to one of your coworkers about the big game that weekend. Did you see that touchdown? Did you see that play? And you make your way back to your office. You work a little longer. Maybe a coworker comes by the office, puts his head in your door, and chats with you a little bit about some issue they're having, or your plans for the weekend, and whatever that may be. You work a little longer, and next thing you know, you're trying to plan for lunch. Well, where are we going to go for lunch? So you go to lunch. You eat with some of your coworkers. You spend the whole lunchtime talking about work, talking about, you know, different things, life and what y'all going through and as kids and just everything else that's going on. And eventually you have to pay the bill and you have to go back to work. You work for a little while longer and somewhere in the afternoon you sprinkle in watching a few millennial training videos or, you know, funny cat videos or something But you get through the day and you talk with coworkers again a few times here and there. And eventually you say, all right, it's time to go. You get in a car, back into bumper and bumper traffic. You rush home. If you have time, you might get lucky to change clothes and you're off to the ballpark. You got kids having games and kids having practices and they're all over the park and it's just a crazy, crazy lifestyle. So you finally get to the game and you spend the first inning or so talking to some of the parents about your plans for the weekend, work, stuff like that. You watch a little bit of football, a little bit of the game. Spend innings three through four talking about some problem everybody's having with a teacher at school. It's just, I don't know what we're going to do about that teacher. You know, it's just, you watch a little bit more of the game. By the fifth inning, you're yelling at the umps, hey, you're missing a good game out here. Then you start thinking, okay, is there time between this game ending and the next practice beginning to go up to their drive-thru or to eat a ballpark hot dog? Tie game, extra innings, ballpark hot dog it is. Another inning to complain about parents and the amount of time your kids are spending on games and their phones and all this stuff. Game finally ends. You grab the kid from the dugout after they meet with the coaches and you rush across the park to the other ball field and the other kid's already in practice over there and you're running late. You sit the kids on the bleachers. Here's your hot dog. Here's your lunch. Let me go out here and help with practice for a little while. And you work with the kids in practice and you finally get through practice and you say, okay, whew, finally, we're out of the ballpark, heading home. Oh, wait, we got to stop at the grocery store. We need some bread. We need some milk. We need a few drinks and some stuff for lunches for the rest of this week. And you leave the grocery store and you realize, oh, I got to run over here. The kid needs a new pair of shoes. He tore his shoes up, outgrowing them. They do that. Oh, man, I need to get gas in the car. Red lights come on telling me I'm not going to make it to school in the morning if I don't go ahead and do this tonight. So you finally get the gas. You get home. You rush the kids up, showers, baths, time to get cleaned up. You start putting all the groceries away, and then the kids come out of the showers. All right, time for homework. They're a little fussy. They're a little whiny about it, but you start working through homework with them, and they get their homework done, and, you know, they're complaining now, man, I'm hungry, Dad, I'm hungry, Mom. So you start fixing a snack. They keep working on their homework. You're fixing them a snack. Go ahead and fix a snack for yourself because that ballpark hot dog didn't last as long as you'd like it to. You check through their homework. You send them up to brush their teeth and get ready for bed. And you go up, you tuck them in, tell them good night, and you answer all the questions about why is the sky blue and what are they doing tomorrow and when are we ever going to get to see the new superhero movie. And you come down, you got their lights off, you come down, you get ready for bed yourself, and you're like, oh, been out at the ballpark all day, I'm all dusty and dirty, let me get a quick shower. And you get a quick shower, you get ready for bed, you brush your teeth, now you're wide awake because you just had a shower. So what do? Reach for the phone. Let's check in on email, do some texting. Let's look at Pinterest for a while, or Instagram, or Facebook. And you spend next thing you know, it's really late. You finally put the phone down. You close your eyes, and you try to get some sleep before the alarm goes off and you start it all over again. Does any of that sound familiar to you? Does that sound like a busy day, or does it sound like a typical day? You know, there are so many things that I could have mentioned of things we've got to do that weren't mentioned that just continually crowd our day with more and more stuff. It seems like that's kind of the way we live nowadays is just it's just a crazy, busy lifestyle. And, you know, we got a wide variety of people here this morning. We got all sorts of ages, all different stages in life, and if what we just went through on a typical day doesn't sound familiar to you, you have no idea what that's about, you should probably volunteer to babysit for some of these young parents out here so they can have a little break to do laundry or, you know, whatever else needs to be done. Let them have a date or something. But if there's probably a lot of you who remember those days real well. There's probably a lot of us that are going through those times right now. And if you don't know anything about them, you will be going through those kinds of times soon. So we're just all really busy with the life that we're living here. And over the last several years, I've started to have a lot of concern about that, and mostly in my own life. I struggle with, man, how, you know, why are we so busy? Is this the way it's supposed to be? And, you know, am I using my time wisely? Am I doing things that are right? Or am I just messing up here by being so busy? And so this morning for a few minutes, I'll have you out of here by 1 o'clock, I promise. For a few minutes, I just want to talk just a little bit about this issue that we all seem to deal with, and that's just how busy we are. Now, what I kind of wonder is if we're all this busy with just living life, what exactly are the sacrifices that we're making? What is the impact that this level of busyness has in the lives that we live? And of course, the primary impact that you worry about is whether or not we are part-time Christians. That's what I've titled the lesson for this morning is, are we part-time Christians? Are we so busy with all the things in this life that we are not doing what we're supposed to be doing? Is there anything wrong with staying busy? I wish we were in a class where I could get some feedback from you, but, you know, there's a lot of passages actually in the scriptures that talk about being busy. You know, you think about the principles of the idle hands and how they're the devil's workshop. We look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 18, it says, because of laziness, the building decays, and through idleness of hands, the house leaks. The house leaks. You look again in Proverbs, and there are a number of Proverbs that you can relate to in here. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 26. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send them. So I think with these and many, many other passages, we can see that God intends for us to be busy. I mean, He doesn't intend for us to just sit idle, hide ourselves away from the world that we're living in. He intends for us to live in this world, just not to be of this world. So I don't think we can say that there's anything necessarily wrong with just being busy in our lives. So, are the activities that we're engaged in, are they wrong? Are they sinful? So let's look back to this day we kind of walked through. Sleeping, not a sin. Though there are some passages that address sleeping too much. We won't get into that this morning. Getting cleaned up and getting ready for the day. I think we're good there. Driving, I think we're fine. Taking kids to school, there's nothing wrong with that. No matter what the kids might tell you, there's nothing wrong with taking them to school. Working, that's a good thing. We all need to be working. Talking and visiting with coworkers and friends, no, I think that's also an important part of our day, to build these relationships with the people that we're in contact with. Taking kids and helping out in sports. Don't think we can say that that's a sin either. What about eating at the ballpark? That might be questionable. But I don't think it crosses any biblical lines that we would define as sin. Facebook, Instagram, texting, Snapchat, Twitter. You name the social media you like. Anything wrong with that? Perhaps moderation might come into play there, but I don't think we can necessarily say there's anything wrong with using some of those devices and some of those apps. We all live very, very full lives. Laundry, homework, pumping gas, buying groceries, fixing snacks. I mean, all these things that we do, I think they're still okay. I don't think we've crossed any lines with what we've been talking about this morning. But what we got to see is, look around the church around us here. Look around the pews. Are there any criminal masterminds that you see in here today? Are there any mobsters that are running a evil empire doing crimes against humanity? I don't see any. I don't think we're being busy doing things that are sinful and things that are wrong. I think we're just busy. And I think most of what we're trying to do is trying to take care of our families, provide a good life for them, provide opportunities for them to learn, to learn about life, to learn about, some of the lessons you learn from sports, the education you get in school. We're just trying to make sure that our kids and our families are taken care of. We're trying to provide for our families much the way God has told us to. So I don't think we can necessarily say that there's anything necessarily wrong with the activities we're involved in. So that begs me to think about the next question that I always am puzzled about, and that's, who's behind that clock? I kind of pictured that little clock chasing the fella, kind of like that big stone boulder that chased Indiana Jones when he was running through that cave area. Somebody pushed that rock, right? Somebody triggered that rock to chase after him. Well, I wonder sometimes if we're so busy, who's behind all this activity that we're involved in? Who's pushing that clock? And, just exactly why is it that we're so busy? I think the obvious answer to that in most cases is that, well, we're responsible for that. I've told Carol so many times, hey, sometimes you just got to say no. You don't have time for all this. And yet I'm the one who usually won't say no and end up with, so many different things on my plate that later she'll fuss about. But we want to help people when they ask for it. We want to do things with our kids. We want to do things with our families. We want to do things with our friends and have activities because those are the ways we build relationships that way. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But sometimes I wonder if perhaps Satan is behind these busy lifestyles that we now have. Why would I think that? Well, so many times we look at the difference in right and wrong. We think, well, you know, I'm trying to do right. I'm okay. I haven't done this. I haven't murdered. I haven't stolen. I haven't cheated. I haven't done, you know, all these different things that God commands us, don't do this. And we think as long as we're not doing that, then we're doing okay. But the Word of God's got a lot more to it than don't do this and don't do that. It's got a lot of instruction where He commands us to do certain things. And I think perhaps Satan doesn't necessarily have to get us to commit a sin where we go out and do something actively wrong, so much as he just has to keep us so busy that we don't do some of the things that God has commanded us to. And that's kind of a concern. It's a worry that I have, really, about the busy lifestyles. Are we really taking care of business and doing all that God would have us do? I think that's very likely that this could be one of Satan's best tactics nowadays that he uses in his arsenal to chase after us and to stop the spread of the gospel. And actually, it's pretty brilliant if you think about it. You know, we're all on guard to make sure we're not doing wrong, but are we always diligent to make sure that we're doing everything that we're supposed to do and always doing good, always doing right? So, when I think about these busy lifestyles that we have, I always think, well, I got to make a change, right? First thing that comes to mind is, well, I've got to give up something. I've got to give up track. I've got to give up work. I've got to give up sleep. I've got to give up this or that or ballpark or coaching or something. I've got to give something up so I can free time up. And once I get some free time, then I can focus on trying to do God's Word and doing these things that we're commanded to do as Christians, living in the world that we live in. I don't know if that's necessarily the right answer. It seems like it's almost impossible to give these things up. I'd like to try, but, you know, work, love to give up work. Kind of hampers my ability to eat or live in a house or, you know, take care of my family. It's a funny thing about work, when I start cutting time back from work, they start cutting money out of my check. And if I cut enough time, they cut the check out entirely. You know, I don't get anything, and then I'm not welcomed into the building anymore. You know, there's certain things we can't give up. We can't give up sleep. Bodies have to have a certain amount of sleep to just be able to function and do things. So how do we give up these things? How exactly do we free up time so we can be about the Lord's business? That's been the question that's bothered me for some time now, just trying to figure out, is that what we have to do? We have to give stuff up, or exactly what do we do here? And I think finally, and over time, I've kind of learned to look to God's Word. We have to look to God's Word to see what exactly does God command us to do. And I think the solution, if you want to say the problem of being a part-time Christian, the solution would be a full-time Christian. And, you know, becoming a full-time Christian is what we're supposed to do from the very beginning, isn't it? I mean, really, there is no such thing as a part-time Christian, because a part-time Christian is a full-time sinner. Jeff had a sermon kind of similar to that not too long ago. But we gotta make changes. We gotta do things, and we gotta figure out a way that we can still take care of the things that we have in this life, but constantly focus on what we're supposed to be doing. So let's look at a few passages, if you will. Turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 6. We've got a couple of passages in Matthew chapter 6 we can look to. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25 through 34. There's a lot of interesting stuff in that passage. It's one of our more recent readings in our daily Bible readings not too long ago, but look down to verse 33 specifically. It says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. I think the very simple way to look at that is God says to seek Him first. Is that a thing? Well, we get up in the morning, we seek Him first, and then we can go on and do everything else? I don't think that's what that means there. I think that means that's setting a priority. That the number one thing in our life that we're going to do is to seek after God. We got to seek God first. Just a few verses later, in verse 19 through 21, it talks about, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. God instructs us where our focus should be, seeking Him first. We seek God first. We have a heavenly focus because this life that we're living, all these things that we're doing, these activities that keep us so busy, it's just a temporary part of this life and it will all be done away with. Everything we're chasing after, the possessions and things like that, they'll all be going away. The cars we drive will end up in a junkyard or landfill. Everything we're looking after is just temporary. It's just a fleeting moment in this life. If we're focused on those things, we're going to miss the big picture. We've got to focus on God. We've got to focus on doing His will and seeking Him first and being focused on the heaven that awaits us. And that's the real reward there, is that we get to be with God. That's what it's all about. Look in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 is full of good guidance to us Christians today. And it's good guidance for our lives that we live in service to God. One of the things that it says there, I highlight, is that we are to walk. It's got a lot of different things that you walk in. That describes an active. I'm actively moving. I'm walking. I'm doing something. I'm in action for God. I'm walking toward love. I'm walking walking toward the light, walking in wisdom. And in verse 15 and 17, even speak about how we use our time. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. It tells us to redeem our time. What does that mean, to redeem our time? Redeem, when Jesus redeemed us, He bought us back. So if we redeem our time, we're buying it back. Does that mean we're taking these activities and doing away with them? So I've got this time and I'm going to hold on to this time and I'm going to take real care of this time that nothing happens with it. It's not really what that scripture is talking about. It's buying that time back so that we can invest that and use that for the Lord. If we never pick up our Bibles to read God's Word, we'll never understand what His will is for us. So when we get that time, we need to use it wisely. Not walking as fools. We use it wisely. Invest that time that we've bought back into study of God's Word, so we know what His will is. Look in Acts chapter 2 is our next focus here. Acts chapter 2, we learn another interesting thing about the first century church. In verse 42 it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. They continued steadfastly. They continued in this. They did this over and over again, and it was a constant thing that they did. Working with the apostles, learning the doctrine, continuing to study that word, learn what it was like. They fellowshiped with one another. They broke bread, and they spent time in prayer with each other. That's what we see from this first century church. Look in chapter 5, verse 42. Another great, great verse. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Everywhere they went, in the temple, in the houses, wherever they went, they never stopped teaching that Jesus was the Christ. They told everybody about the gospel. And that was part of what they did. They didn't stop living and stop doing what they were supposed to do. They just made sure that they were always doing His will. And one of the things Jesus tells us is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So they used every chance they could to teach others about the gospel of Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, another great passage for us. 1 Thessalonians 5, looking at verse 15 through 18. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is the will of God for us to do. We are to rejoice always. We are to pray without ceasing. We are to give thanks in everything because of what God has done for us. We are always to pursue what is good for both ourselves and for everyone. Another passage we'll look at this morning. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 17 specifically. This discusses, in the Colossians we find a discussion about the character of the new man. When we're baptized into Christ, we rise up out of that water a new man, and we got a new character that we're supposed to follow. It's the character that Christ displayed when he was on earth here as well. Look down through 12 through 17, and especially in verse 17 where it states, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Hopefully, from these few passages, you're starting to see kind of what the main point of this lesson really is. And it's not really a lesson about our lives and how we spend our time. Our lives, when we become Christians, are no longer our lives. We have given that life to Christ. We've given our lives to God. And once it's His, that's why we have to be full-time Christians. Our lives do not belong to us. Everything that we do in this world should bring praise to God, should be giving thanks to God. We should be praying to God, never ceasing, always rejoicing. And by living that life, we will point others to Him. We'll point others to the glory of God. Another passage, Proverbs chapter 31. It's hard to talk about a busy life without looking at the virtuous wife of Proverbs 31. I mean, if the Bible gives an example of a busy person in a busy day, this is it. Just hit a few highlights. I think we've all read this passage numbers of times, but it starts off in verse 15, that she rises while it is still night. And that's the way you start your day. When it's still night, she's getting up and getting going. She provides food for her household and her maidservants. She looks into the field and buys it. And from the profits, she plants a vineyard. So she's active, working, and doing things for the better of her family. She girds herself with strength. Her lamp does not go out by night. She's prepared for night and prepared for, you know, having the lamps running so she can keep working even when night comes. She helps out the poor. She helps, you know, she puts her hands to work for the needy. She's not afraid of cold weather because her family's well clothed. She makes clothes for herself, you know, linens. Her husband's known. She makes garments and sells them. When she opens her mouth, she imparts wisdom. She's smart. She's wise with what she says. And her tongue is the law of kindness. She's kind with her words. She's not bitter and angry. She's kind. She watches over her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. I mean, this is an example of what a woman, a godly woman is. That's what God says. And this woman's busy. God intends for us to be busy in His kingdom. We can't live idle. We can't go to a monastery on top of a mountain and just sit in a room and just, that's not going to be pleasing to God. We've to be the salt of this world, to flavor this world with the influence that God wants us to give. We have to be in the world that we're living in, and we have to be able to reach out and have those relationships with people to touch them like that. There are many, many more passages that we could look to. Luke chapter 10. Talks about how the harvest is plenty, but laborers are few, calling for people to work in the kingdom. Mark chapter 16, 14 through 16 instructs us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Colossians 4, chapter 4, verse 5 tells us to walk in wisdom and make the most of our time. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 instructs us to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. In Galatians 6:10, we have opportunity to let us do good to everyone, especially those of the household of faith. John chapter 9, verse 4 warns us to work while it's day because the night comes when no one can work. There are so many passages in the scriptures that tell us that we're to be busy about doing about God's word. There's a lot of work to be done in His kingdom, and I tell you, that sounds like a full-time job to me. So how do we do it? How do we change if we're having issues being a part-time Christian? How do we change to be a full-time Christian? Well, I think if you look at the scriptures and look at it with the most simplest eyes you can, put God first. Love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Make an effort to preach and teach the gospel to every creature. And in everything we do, be thankful to God, giving Him praise to bring the glory that's due Him. That's not always an easy task, but let's look at our day one more time and try to highlight what can we do to be a full-time Christian in a busy day. The alarm clock goes off. You get up. You reach for the Bible on your nightstand and spend about 9 minutes. That's the amount of time you snooze that clock. Spend that 9 minutes reading from God's Word. You shower and get dressed for the day and think about that passage that you've been reading. You meditate on it. You go wake up the kids and start fixing breakfast. Encourage the kids to come down to eat breakfast and then talk to them while they're eating. Talk to them about that passage. Talk to them about the day and see what kind of problems they're having. See if you can help them through problems while applying the biblical principles that you've learned from your studies. Finish packing up the bags. You load up the car. You drive the kids to school. Maybe discuss the daily Bible reading in the car. You drive to work. On the way to work, you start another day and you're ready to do your best. You're going to do everything you can so that your work is the best it can be. You're going to be a good example to those around you. You log in, you check your email, you get some coffee. You talk with a coworker in the break room about a sermon that you heard recently that you think might help them out with some issue you know they're going through. You go back to work. People come by your office and talk to you, and maybe take it a chance to invite them to a Bible study one night. Invite them to church. Work for a while longer, you go to lunch break, and you spend time at lunch, and you pray for your food. Show your coworkers that you're thankful to God for what He's blessed you with. Maybe that gives you an opportunity to talk to some of them about the gospel as well while you're eating lunch. You're back to work, you got a few breaks occasionally. Maybe you check back in on your email and see what other comments are made about the daily reading that day. You spend a few more minutes. Maybe you get that afternoon break and you spend a few more minutes reading that passage again or reading some more passages from the scriptures. Finally, the end of the work day comes. You go home. You pick up the kids. You head to the ball fields. Maybe you spend the first two innings watching the game and visiting with some of the other parents like before. But maybe in innings 3 and 4, you talk to them a little bit about a gospel meeting we just had and encourage them to go online and listen to one of those lessons. Maybe instead of yelling at the umps, you try to encourage the kids more to overcome trying situations. During the less busy time, maybe you talk to parents and discuss different issues that y'all are having with kids on too many gaming devices, and you share some of the thoughts from the lessons we had recently in our gospel meeting about using the devices too much, perhaps. You teach some of those biblical principles, and they see that you're trying to do God's will and that your life is better from it. Game's over. You grab the kids who are left. You rush over to the practice field with the other kid. You help them in practice. You try to teach them the values of sports and teamwork and teach them to always do their best. You try to instill biblical principles and sportsmanship and hard work and everything else you can. Have a good impact on them to make them better people. Eventually, you go home after stopping to pick up groceries, gas, and do other things. You get the kids their showers and baths. You put the groceries away. You start doing some laundry and doing the homework. And you fix some snacks and you provide for them. And maybe before you send them up to bed, you go up there and instead of just tucking them in and answering them all the questions of why the sky is blue, you spend a few moments in prayer with them. Fold the laundry. You finish up their homework and everybody's ready for bed and ready to end the day. When you go down, you take your shower and you get in bed, instead of reaching for the phone and checking on Instagram and Facebook, maybe you read some more scriptures or talk to your spouse about the Bible studies you had that day and just how everything went and how you can make things better for those around them and try to find those opportunities to show people what a godly person is like, what a virtuous woman is like. And you try to be that example and that light that they see in the world of darkness that points them to God. You finally drift off to sleep. The next day you wake up and repeat it. It's a little different. It's a little different here in the busy lifestyle that we had to a lifestyle where we're looking for every opportunity we can to share the gospel with others. Over time, as we do that, what we'll see is that schedule doesn't seem near as busy anymore because we're out doing good, and we're happy to do so. We're happy to be workers in the kingdom that God give us to work in. We're happy to get out there and work in these fields because the harvest is ready. The harvest is white. He just needs laborers to get out there and get working and do it. That's it. That's the lesson for today. It's a simple lesson. I hope it's one that's beneficial to each and every one of you. If you're here this morning and you're a Christian, maybe you ask yourself, have I been a full-time Christian or have I been a part-time Christian? And if you've been a part-time Christian, you can start today. You just have to make your mind up to do so. You can make those changes in your life so that you fully devote your life to Christ. If you're here this morning and you haven't put on the name Christian, you can make those changes today as well. You can start a life dedicated to God, living a peaceful life, busy life, but a good life. You can come down front as we get ready to stand and sing, and you can confess your belief in Jesus as the Son of God. You can be buried in baptism and come rising up out of those waters a new man with a new character. If you need to respond in any way, please come forward while we stand and sing.